At the Table with Tony is brought to you by Trafe Hustlin'. That's www.trafehustlin.com. Your home for all things barbecue.
Welcome to At the Table with Tony. My name is Anthony Sciglia, better known as Tony Mangia. And tonight we're doing our seventh episode of the live stream edition of At the Table with Tony. And I have a pleasure to be joined by two guests tonight. We have Tommy Buff Racciopi. He's a fourth generation owner of Jimmy Buff's in West Orange, New Jersey. And we're also being joined by Paul Bellardini. He is the second generation owner of Luigi's Pizzeria in Sukasuna, New Jersey. So before we dive into the topic of the night, which is being a hands-on restaurateur during the coronavirus pandemic, I want the gentlemen to please tell us a little bit about their background and about their restaurant. So, Tommy, take it away.
Yeah, sure, guys. How you doing? I'm Tommy Racciopi from Jimmy Buff's. Like Tony said, I'm the fourth generation. My great-grandparents started this restaurant in 1932. My great-grandmother invented the Italian hot dog, and my great-grandfather had the idea to open up the store in their Newark home and make it a storefront.
Oh, God, how do I follow that up? This is going to be hard now, Tom. And I want to make record for everybody. I love how we all brought our quarantine scruff to the table. First of all, you can see what the hell we've been going through lately. So, that being said, I'm Paul Bellardini. My family's place is Luigi's Pizza in Sukasuna. I just recently was able to take over from my father. He had started in the early 70s with smaller places, and he really got established in 76 in Roxbury. He had a great restaurant, pizzeria, going for years and years. And eventually, I guess they wanted to tear down the mall. They wanted to change things up. So now where that place was is a Home Depot, which we actually brought pizzas to today, which is hilarious. You can still see on the floor, you can still see the tile of the old kitchen. If you go down the lumber section, it's like hilarious.
No but way, anyway, really?
It's weird. It's like the graveyard of the old Luigi's Pizza is in Home Depot. I walked through your old kitchen the other day. I said, it's still there. I know. Thank you. I'm over here now, though, if you want pizza. But so once they tore that down, they built the mall that we're in currently now, which is old also now. It's like, it's definitely getting up there. We've been in this location for about 31 years, more or less, in a small place, like kind of hole in the wall, kind of joint. But I think it's also what's helped us over the years too, you know, not being ridiculously large, help us get in this moment right now, the low overhead and, you know, a lot of things with that. So I'm just trying to keep my family's place going, modernizing it, and, you know, just excited to be here today, man. Thank you for inviting me, Tony.
Thank you guys for taking. I know you guys have literally been probably nonstop since this whole thing hit the fan, and I know you guys are doing. You know, you're kind of adapting your business plans to suit the situation that we're in right now, and that can't be easy, right? I mean, so let's start with Tommy. Tommy, what is going through your mind when you first find out that this coronavirus is happening? They're shutting everything down. Kind of talk us through what was your initial reaction?
Right. Yeah. The first thing you hear in the news is telling people to stay home. Right. You know, that's your customer base. They come in, they come on the time, you're telling them to stay home, and you know, it's, you agree, but it's how do you do business now? So, you know, me or Paul or I never delivered before, and we would have some conversations on the phone, and I say, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we need to change this. We were both on DoorDash, and we both recently added Grubhub, but you know that they can only do so much, and you know that doesn't really hit the whole market. It's a lot of younger people on there, and we want to get to everybody. And we've both been open for a long time. We have older customers; they're not really savvy with that type of thing, so. I mean, I don't want to talk for Paul, but I know Paul started doing like the old school delivery. I don't really have the help and the ability to do that right now. So I started doing like a targeted delivery. So instead of like the first thing you hear when you know people get slow or whatever, they lose business, they want to cut staff, they want to, you know, lower their expenses, and that's like the last thing I wanted to do. I, you know, I want everybody to keep their job, and really that's a fixed cost. You know, you tell somebody to stay home. You know, you're only saving so much. So I came up with an idea to do like these targeted deliveries. Like I'll throw on Facebook a couple of days in advance, hey, I'm hitting this area, you know, let me know if you want food. And like, and I've been doing that for a couple weeks now, and it's been working out really well. So I get like a whole bunch of orders. We cook them all up, and I either meet people in one area, I meet a few people, and then I even, you know, deliver to a couple houses.
So obviously you've never really done any of this. This is all new for you, right, Tommy?
Right.
So this is kind of like, so what has the reaction been to the people when you say, actually Tommy Buff is coming out and to deliver Italian hot dogs?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. People are like so happy, and you know, they said, you know, what time you coming? I said, oh, well, you know, I'll probably be there. They said, it really doesn't matter what time you come. They said, I'm just happy just to get it. You know, they're like, I just want to know so I don't eat. I want to make sure I eat right when you get there. And it's really been great. You know, we've done, you know, four different areas. I've repeated the same the ones that have been successful. I've done more than once. Mm-hmm. And I had plans to go back to like a few places. Next is Sunday is Tom's River. It's going to be a huge one. Because wow. I always hear people coming into the store saying, you know, we took the ride up from Tom's River. We, you know, we're coming here. Why don't you open up one in Tom's River? I said, so you know what? We got to get to these people because they're not leaving the house to go across town. They're not coming up to me.
We got to figure out
a way to get it to them.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Paul, let me ask you, Paul. So you've never delivered. Your pizzeria never delivered.
No, we never did. We survived literally all these years as my father set it up with just walk in, sit in, take out.
Uh-huh.
No real delivery. I used to joke about it. I'd be like, good pizzerias don't have to deliver. But right now we had to start delivering, or otherwise we would have lost out on so much potential out there. So our fan base is so loyal, like incredible, like Tom's, like I would say. And he's got us beat by like 40 something years, you know. We're just so fortunate that we'd have all these customers generation to generation to generation. They would come in, they want to talk. Hey, Paul, how's the family? Some days you're so busy, you're just like, hey, doing good, you know, we were getting by. Like, John, next order, you know, you try to do it politely. But you really do get to know all these people over the years, and you really know almost too much about them in a way that's kind of crazy. But it's nice, though, because I think that's what helped us in this moment. And I want to go back a little bit. Tom, you have no idea how happy the crew was to see Italian hot dogs coming in here. Nice. Literally, there was a kid in the back. He had never even had one in his life, Tony. He was like, what's an Italian hot dog? I'm like, dude, you are Italian. What are you talking about? And you have the king bringing you hot dogs as he's holding it. He's like, what do I do with this? I'm like, you eat it, and you say thank you to that man. Because it's literally the king bringing you your first Italian hot dog. I'm just like, oh, my God. So he had this thing. He was like, this is really good. Where do I go for this? I said, that's a little dry, but it's worth it. Don't worry about it. Just got to go up to West Orange, and you'll, like, enjoy the hell out of it.
Nice.
But I'm getting sidetracked like how I traditionally do. Yeah, we never delivered before. Actually, I'll be honest, I have to give credit to Tom. We would brainstorm every night up until this even happened. It's like we were unintentionally
preparing
for something we didn't even know was going to happen. I remember he hit me up. He's like, Paul, what's up? You know, I'm driving home, tired. He's like, I'm thinking about doing DoorDash. I said, what the hell is DoorDash? Like, this is stupid. He's like, no, you have to do DoorDash. It is awesome, blah, 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 online. They come to you. The driver's good. They're not, like, shady. I said, okay. So Tom literally, like, here's my contact. Call them. Don't wait, blah, blah, blah. Set it up. I mean, this is pretty cool. Like, this really, like, makes it easy. Then the other week, I'm hitting him up. Oh, I'm going to do Grubhub now. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to do Uber. So we're like one-upping each other. Oh, we're going to deliver here. I'm going to get it like this. I'm going to get it like that. So in the end, the DoorDash is going awesome. Grubhub is, I don't know how good it is in this area. But we had to overcome overnight and do traditional delivery. I got family members together. I said, hey, can you drive? And the most beautiful thing about it was the confidence that our customers have in us. I was saying we're going to do contactless delivery. So you take care of everything on the phone, pay, tip, everything, give us your address. And we drop it off right in front of the door with little gloves on. We make it nice. We walk away slowly, you know, no eye contact, no eye contact. Okay. And we just like leave the food beautifully there. And it's funny. As soon as we walk away from the door, they jump out. I'm like, get in your door. Don't come close. I'm like about
the
to
one lady,
you know?
Paul, And Tony, the one lady was waiting for me on the porch. She said, leave it on the steps and back away. I said, okay, have a good night.
Get the hell away.
But so how have you, how, I guess my question is, how have people for you, Paul, how have they reacted to know that now? So now, is this going to just be a temporary thing, or do you think that in the future that you would add delivery to your repertoire?
That's what's really dangerous about, like, the whole situation. Yeah. Because now people, like tonight, nobody asks anymore, hey, do you deliver? Mm. Here's the address. I'll see you soon. I was like, wow, that really went out the window fast. The beauty of, like, do you deliver? Now it's like, bring me my pizza. I said, okay, I'll bring you the pizza. Don't worry. Whatever you want. You know? So I think we're going to have to continue it, which is a nice thing, though, because it really helps out. But I just have to figure out which days – I don't know. I would love to do 7 days, but I don't know. I don't know if we're able to handle it. Like, 3 weeks operating like this has felt like 3 months, and I'm sure Tommy feels the same way. So much more effort than we ever had to do before. Granted, that's not, you know, you have to do your hardest. You work your hardest. But it was just, like, easy before. Not just be like that, you know, come in, hey, how are you, blah, 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 boom, blah, bing, and it's done.
Right.
I think I'm going to have to do and keep up with the delivery. Maybe Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe hold on the Friday, Saturday, but those are busy days. So I don't know if that'd be stupid to do it. And I would, you know, not just speaking for myself, but I bet Tom, dude, you know how many people were like, when is he coming back to Roxbury? When is
I'm coming back.
They're like, back for sure. I don't know. I got pizzas to make over here. But I will tell you this, Tony, I don't know if Tommy told you about this. Tommy was the first person ever, and this is how you know he's a good friend, the first person ever to sell a non-Luigi product, actually even an Italian hot dog and other things, in my actual store. Because I had people in Roxbury that know who he is, and you're like, Paul, yo, can I get like a 5-pack of this? Can I get like a 4-pack of double dogs? Let me get one this, one of that. I don't even know all the names. I'm like, all right, I'm writing orders.
So wait a second, Tommy. You went over to Luigi's and you were able to give out
I was bringing sandwiches to Paul and his staff.
Yeah,
and people found out about it. I guess customers that were there when Paul was ordering for me, they were like, oh, let me get in on that.
Literally.
Back. I need 4 more for this guy. I need 5 more for that guy. I said, oh my gosh.
I had him over here. He was over here in the quarantine section, like he was on the street corner selling hot dogs to random dudes walking in the store. I'm like, dude, you got a permit for this? Like, what are you doing over here? But that's how much I love the guy. That I was like, yeah, bring the hot dogs. Actually, a customer I told you yesterday, Tom, they're like, yo, maybe you can come grill some hot dogs in the front of the store on like a hot flat top. I'm like, I don't know. We'll see, man. I'll ask him if he'd be okay. Man, I don't care. Like, that would be a hell of a spotlight. I'm like, if I can just be associated, I would. That's beautiful.
So. But my question is, I know pizza travels well. Does an Italian hot dog travel well, Tommy?
Well, I mean, I'm going to answer it too, but Paulie, what do you think? You probably ate yours 4 hours later when you closed up.
I still have a picture of it. It was good. And I'll tell you why. I think because it has a lot of moisture in it.
Mm-hmm.
The bread, it's not like thin paper that when it's hard, it's going to be like a rock. Now, his got like really nice body to it. It's got a beautiful body, this Italian hot dog. Okay.
I get him down to Wiley once a year, warm. And people really enjoy him down there. My father's cousin, I bring him down to him once a year in Wildwood.
Really?
Yeah.
They were good.
And I mean, like, people, you know, are the potatoes going to be as crispy as they were right out of the pan? No, they're not. But you know what? Something's to be said. I really enjoy them both ways. I enjoy it fresh out of the pan, and it's a different taste, and it's a good different when, like, all the flavors have been, like, marinating together for, you know, an hour and a half. I mean, it's a different sandwich, yes, but it's not a bad difference. It's definitely a good difference, and I enjoy both.
So, Tommy, so just so people know, Jimmy Buffs, again, it's been there. Well, you've been in West Orange since what, the 70s?
1960,
okay. And before then, you were in, you started on the corner, what, 14th Avenue and 8th Street?
14th and 9th, yeah.
14th and 9th.
That was 1932.
And so for people that don't know what an Italian hot dog is, it really is one of the most amazing things. And really, I don't know. Do you find that people – I know we talked about this on the show. Like people in Italy have no idea what an Italian hot dog is. Right. But do people in other parts of the country know what an Italian hot dog is?
People in other parts of the country, they don't really know. I mean, unless they, you know, seen us on TV or something like that, or a lot of the Jersey transplants that move, you know, they try to spread the good word.
Because
and,
really,
we've been shipping the kits to people, and they've been sharing it like this. They said, "Let me, you know, I'm gonna order the 16 pack of dogs, and I'm gonna have my neighbors over." This was before all this. And, you know, I said, I got to show them what Jimmy Buffett's is all about. I got to show them what a real Italian hot dog is.
But the thing is also that really I think that an Italian hot dog is kind of even – it's kind of like a micro recipe to a certain area of New Jersey. Because when you think about different – like Jersey is known for their hot dogs, number one. I mean, that's – you think of hot dogs, you think of Jersey. You think of Jersey, you think of hot dogs. They're kind of like one and the same in a way. Like in the area of Patterson, say Clifton – Fairlawn, even Elma Park, they have something called the Texas Wiener,
right?
Which is just supposedly that's it. Which is something that was supposedly, I don't know how true this is. It was created in Patterson by
New Jersey, yeah, the Texas Wiener
by Greek immigrants. and then you have, like, you know, obviously the dirty water dog is kind of all over northern New Jersey. You know, the little hot dog carts, but really, when you think of an Italian hot dog, the first place you think of is Jimmy Buffett's, but you think of the city of Newark.
Right.
So it's kind of like Newark's, I guess, well, it's your family's gift to the world, but also in a way, it's Newark's claim to fame in a way is the Italian hot dog.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, Paul, besides pizza, what else do you serve at Luigi's?
So, it's funny, man, because not to go backwards, but when my father was starting to give me more and more of the ropes, I was like, oh, we could do more different specialty pizzas. You know, we used to have on the counter, Tony, you'd laugh. You'd walk into the store, there was plain pizza. You had white broccoli. You had Sicilian. The people were like, they're like looking around for more. I'm like, we got plain, we got white broccoli, we got Sicilian. They're like, okay. So my spiel was a million years was, we got this, we got this, we got that. You could put any toppings you want on these slices. And they're just like, and it's funny because you know toppings, but people like freeze. They're like, can you do, I said, I can do whatever you want. Just tell me what you want. I'm going to do it for you. They're like, wow, you're so nice and outgoing. I'm like, no, it's not hard. So when I kind of started taking the reins, then I put in the shelf and the system. And now we have like crazy pizza options, like out of control. I just recently, you know, to go to your actual question, is we started getting back to our pastas that my father used to do at his restaurant. Like when he opened up this location, he wanted to keep it simple, just pizza, sandwiches, and salads. Like real low key, no frills, nothing fancy, in and out, not expensive by any means, something you could eat every day. I was like, but I really want to add like something new to the menu. I was like, getting bored almost. You know, you can make this pizza and this and that. I was like, let's get back to the pastas that you used to do back in the day, but I wanted to make them good. Like no out of the box, dry kind of stuff. I was like, initially I was making my own fresh fettuccine and it was amazing. My aunt was helping me make it. She was showing me some of the recipes. Then I had my other aunt show me some other recipes. I was bothering my mom. I was bothering my father. I'm like, how do you do this? Like, leave me alone. We're retired. Don't bother me. I'm like, no. So I picked it out of them. No, they love to help me. But eventually I'm like, all right, I found a really good company in Roxbury that makes pasta literally down the road from us. So I
what is it? What's the place?
Family Kitchen in, I think it's Flanders. A really nice guy, Paul Rollo, the nicest dude. And he's like, I carry like any kind of fresh pasta you want. It's all made in-house there. I even know the people that make it that come here, they're customers. I'm like, why didn't you ever tell me? Like, we didn't want to bother you as we're coming to get pizza. I'm like, oh, I want to know these. I want to know these things, you know? So then I started carrying their fresh gnocchi, their fresh parmigiani. They're a fresh fettuccine. I carry like a fresh spaghetti. The spaghetti was a pain in the ass to find. Nobody makes fresh spaghetti. I'm like, what the hell? Like, how do you not get fresh spaghetti? So we started carrying all their whole line of pastas, which are like delicious. You drop them right into the hot water. They're ready in like 80 seconds. It's insane. Pop up, foaming, like they're delicious. So then I was like, all right, I got to make some new sauces. I made a really nice vodka sauce that we make now. I make a really good pesto cream sauce that people love. We mix the pesto in with ricotta and a little garlic and butter. It's awesome. It's not like the traditional pesto pasta.
You got some pretty good rice balls.
It's like really sharp.
Martini.
What's that?
Your rice balls.
Oh, my God, Tom. And it's funny. And thank you for, like, helping me with this. I actually have to make an order because, like, we blew out of all these balls. Like, the balls are – they're gone. The balls are gone.
Paulie's got no balls.
I have literally no balls left for a long time, too, unfortunately. Now, we make these rice balls, Tony. Like, people are like, oh, you make it the lazy way. I'm like, it's not the lazy way. It's the old-fashioned way. My father's showing me. We put all the product together. We squish it literally all together in a bowl. And I'm scooping them out. We're hand-rolling them. Breading them, egging them. So as soon as you bite in, you have like rice, meat, cheese, sauce instantly. There's not like that inch, you know, that inch of rice where it's like nothing's going on. And then you hit this little nibble of meat. They're like, oh, all right, give me $5 now. Thank you. I'm fun ghoul. You know what I mean? You're like, come on. I just spent $5 on this little nugget. So we put so much stuff into these rice balls. This guy, he's like from more east too. He's like, oh, you guys are at rice balls? I say, yeah, they're really good. Let me try one. Let me try one. He ate it and he's just like, oh my God. This guy comes every day. I'm not even making this up. He is addicted to these balls, okay? And I felt bad because this week it's been so busy that I haven't made like a whole thing. I try to make as many as I can because they go so fast. Like instant, boom, 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 out the door. I literally have to make them like first thing in the morning. And they're just like a simple chopped meat rice ball with our marinara sauce. I put a whole different blend of cheeses in there too. The only thing I don't put in there that's not as traditional, I don't put the peas. Like I like peas. I think it's good. I know it's more of a Sicilian thing. I like the peas. And I do it with the regular breadcrumbs. I don't use the panko. Panko's good, but we just do it like a kind of traditional way. And
old
a lot
school
of people
way.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we don't even want the peas. In our area, it's kind of like you got to adjust to the area. Okay, you don't like the peas? We're not going to make it with the peas. Ours are peeless, you know? And the people end up really loving them. They get 2, 3, 4, 5 at a time. This lady that, like, travels with these balls. She's like, give me all the shipment of balls. We're going to go on a trip. All right, good. How many you want, you know?
And Paul, this is PG, Paul.
What's that?
PG, Paul. No pee in the balls.
This lady loves my balls. You have no idea. She's addicted to my balls. But what we're going to do when I have some time and when the pandemic is over and everything, I'm releasing 2 new ones. I'm going to be releasing a chicken vodka rice ball.
Nice.
Which kind of like corresponds with the meals that we've been doing, the chicken vodka kind of deal. And I'm going to be doing another rice ball called the Popeye rice ball. And it's going to taste just like our Popeye pizza, which I think Tony would like love this pie.
Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is.
Who named that pizza?
And I might know the guy that actually named the pizza. It might be on the show currently with us. No, because I was getting bored. We had all the same pizzas and I was like, I want to do something different. And everybody makes a spinach pie and they call it the Pop. You know, they might call it something similar to the Popeye because of the spinach. But like I was in like another world that night. I'm making this pie. It just tasted delicious. I'm like, who wants to name this pie? And Tommy's on Facebook. He's like, Popeye Pizza Paul, come on. Like, this is not hard to name this pizza. I was like, that's brilliant. Oh my God, how did he think about this? You know, like, I'm just so excited that he named it.
I have a question for you, Paul. I have somebody just messaged me. They have a question for you. What kind of rice do you use in your rice balls?
Oh my God. I'm on the fence. It's terrible that I don't even know the proper name. I'm horrible. I hate to admit this. I don't even know the exact name. But I like the little short, stubby rice. I don't like the long, weird ones. You know what I mean?
So probably like an arborio or a canaroli.
There you go. I like the smaller.
Because that's the one that gives off more starch. So it makes it easier to...
Exactly. So when you're rolling it, they're not just like falling apart in your hand. Yes. Like little like granules everywhere. The little thin, like the jasmine ones. We don't do like the jasmine ones. So it's like the little shorter, stubbier rice in a way. And it's nice too, because what I do I don't know if it's really the correct way to do it, but I was just like, whatever, I don't care. It's going to taste good if I make it. I keep them a little bit more moist, the rice. Like, mm-hmm. I guess I add a little bit more water. So when we're putting it all together, there's just so much more taste and body to the rice ball. It's not like dry rice.
Yeah.
It's not soggy rice, but it's more like, it's like, they're a little more inflated. They're not like hard and like thin. Like, it's like you're eating Chinese food, you know?
Uh-huh.
So everybody seems to love them, even if I don't know the like correct terminology on what the hell we're doing some days. I feel like you just, the Italian in you comes out. You're just like, I don't even need to know. I'm going to do it and it's going to be good.
So let me ask you a question. I want to get to Italian for in a minute, but I want to ask you a question. Well, where are you? Where, 'cause I know you're first generation Italian, American Italian. So where are your parents from in Italy?
So it's funny because they actually come from similar towns and they met here. My father is from this town called Scorgula.
Scorgula.
Scorgula, yeah.
Where is it?
So the Providence is Frosinone, so Lazio.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So right outside Rome, he always says like 40 kilometers outside Rome. Like how many miles is kilometers? All right. Yeah, gotcha. It's the equivalent of like us from New York City, where their area is, Lazio. So my father's from Scorgula, and my mom is from Supino. And they're neighboring towns. Like, if you're familiar with, like, any areas, like, where we are in Roxbury, neighboring town is, like, Randall.
Yeah, okay.
Dover. So, like, they are so close, these towns. And what's crazy is they both came here at different times, and they're like, my father was 19. He was lucky. He actually came by airplane. My mom came by boat, like, steerage. She was like
What year? What year did she come?
She had to come in like 50 something.
Mm.
And what's wild is the boat that her father came over on. Now I'm gonna butcher the name. This famous boat sank on its last voyage, bringing people here. I think I don't want to mess up the actual words on this. It's like the Saint. Something Diodorio.
They say the Andrea Doria.
There you go. That's the American.
Yeah. Well, Andrea Doria, I guess, would be the.
Beautiful. You're like making me look good here. Thank you.
that's a famous ship. I mean, that was a famous ship. Yeah, and it sunk. Yeah.
So my nonno came over in probably like early 50s. Okay. Actually, even earlier, late 40s. It was right after World War II. They had to get the hell out of over there, you know what I'm saying? Like, all different reasons. Anyways, he had to get the hell out over there, him and his brother, and they started up their pizzeria in the Bronx. Like, it's like hilarious. Oh, you're Italian, you're gonna make a pizzeria, you're gonna do pizza. Okay, so actually, here, let me show you. I'm gonna show you a picture of them. I'm gonna walk. Oh my god, my back is a piece. Look at this. So this is them. So my nonno would be on the right.
Wow.
And my great uncle Henry is on the left. So this was their store in the Bronx. Hopefully you can see it. I'm just kind of like showing it up to the TV. And they had their shop there for a while. Supposedly it was in the West Chin. I don't know what that area is like now.
It was in where? I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit.
In the West Farm section of the Bronx. I don't know. My mom said they live near the Bronx Zoo. And they could almost walk to work. I could be wrong on the streets. She said, you know, the area's not the same as it was. But long story short, he came over back in the day. He had to work. It was times are different. They had to work, I don't know how many years before you could even bring over your family. It wasn't just like you're here and you bring over everybody and it's easy.
Yeah.
So he had to have sponsors, this, and that. So I guess my nonno was here maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 years before he was able to bring over my mom, her brothers, my nonna, to get everybody to, like, basically to the city. So my mom, like, grew up in the city the majority of her, like, adolescence, and that's where they had the pizzeria. The funny thing is, my nonno taught my great-uncle, Spartigo, how to make pizza. This is my father's uncle, all right? So the families are kind of connected through pizza. In a way, it really started with my mom's father. But it ended up that her future husband, Luigi, would end up like carrying the pizza heritage longer than any of the other ones ever did.
So that's how your parents met? That's how your parents met?
They actually met because my mom's brother, Guido, was working in a pizzeria. And I think he ran into my father. And, you know, they're talking back and forth. And I think that's how they became friendly. And since the families kind of already knew each other in a way, you know, like my father's family, I guess, was working for her family in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Then my uncle became established. He opened up his other pizzerias in the city. And I think it was just the intermingle of, like, the pizza families knowing each other. So I guess that's how my father got introduced to my mom eventually. So it's cool to trickle down of, like, you know, in a way, I'm almost like third generation pizza maker. Second, you know, it's a lot of lineage in a way, even though they didn't carry it on as long as my father really did. 50 years, basically, he was doing it since he's 19. It's insane.
But that's interesting, because you think about it, your family has history in the pizza world, and Tommy's family has the lineage in the hot dog world. So Tommy, let's just talk. I know that you were on the inaugural episode of At the Table with Tony. We did the podcast a couple of months ago. Yeah. But for those that maybe that missed it, or that don't, you know, that don't know it, I just found this show now. Kind of just tell us a little bit of the history of Jimmy Buffett's and of the Italian hot dog.
Yeah. So my great grandparents started, like I said before, 1930s. They came over from Italy in 1918. And they were from Teora in Avellino. And they came over in 1918. And, you know, my great-grandfather would play cards in his basement with his buddies. And my great-grandmother would make these sandwiches, the hot dogs or sausage with peppers, onions, potatoes for them. And people started showing up. They didn't want to play cards. They just wanted to eat. So they started charging. And, like, that's you know, it blew up from there. They moved up to the second floor. They made the first floor of the storefront. And my great-grandparents gave it to my grandfather, Tommy, and his brother, Mike, who opened up Scotch Plains in Irvington. So we closed Newark in 74. My grandfather opened up West Orange in 1960. And his brother, Mike, my uncle Mike, he opened up Scotch Plains in Irvington. Now my cousin Mike, my great uncle's grandson Mike, my cousin Mike, he used to run Scotch Plains, and now he is the one who has the Jimmy Buffs in Kenilworth.
Okay, so mm-hmm. still the same family.
Same family. He's the great grandson on one side, and I'm the great grandson on the other side.
Just two. It's two different branches of the same tree.
That's it.
Yeah. So Kenilworth, that's where is the Kenilworth location?
506 Boulevard. It's right off the Parkway, 138.
That's the main drag, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. You get off the Parkway, 138. You make a left, and it's like a couple blocks down on your right.
And if I'm not mistaken, Kenilworth actually has a large Italian population.
Yes, and believe it or not, my grandfather had a location in Kenilworth back in the '60s, and then my father's godfather Charlie used to run that Jimmy Buffs. For my grandfather, and then I don't know if you ever heard of Charlie's in Kenilworth. That's where, you know, that he sold that location to Charlie, my grandfather, and I think they're like the third or fourth owner right now, if they're still even open. I'm not sure.
And then what? It was an Italian hot dog place.
Yeah, it was a Jimmy Buffs back in the '60s.
But then it became a Charlie's.
Yep, and then he, you know, the guy, the original Charlie used to run that Jimmy Buffs location, and. Wow. Yeah.
So, Paul, I saw an article. It was on tapinto.net, and it was about the title of the article was saying thank you with lots of pizza in Roxbury. So kind of talk about now. So somebody donated, I guess, the pizzas for you to give to the places that needed it. Kind of explain how that came to be.
I think it was, 3 weeks ago. It was on Tuesday. We were trying to figure out what the hell we were going to do. Like, this didn't just happen overnight. Oh, my God, we're going to do this, and that. We're going to get inspired. We're going to make all this business, and we're going to donate to the world. I'm literally sitting up front like, today sucked. You know, like, we're just like, today wasn't really that good. It almost felt like a snow day. you know, like we're so fortunate that people still come in. Like there's some stores that wouldn't even be open.
Yeah.
So we're like, ah, we're just going to like operate traditionally just to get through this. Like, Tom, I wasn't even thinking any bigger. Granted, we talk so much at night.
Right.
And I had my friend Chris contact me. He owns the jewelry store behind us. And he's like, hey, man, just throwing me an idea. Can I buy 10 pizzas and 10 salads? It will distribute it among social services, you know, to families that are, you know, in trouble right now. I'm like, oh my God, this brilliant, beautiful person. You know, I was like, this is great. Oh my God. You know, and I love doing things in the community. But I guess in the moment I was down and I'm like not thinking outside of the box. So I'm like, Chris, this is great. So what we did was I wrote up little pamphlets. We made like little like tags for each pizza so I could keep count of all these. I was like, oh, 10. I hope I can keep count of all these orders. You know, I'm not even thinking as big as it happened. And I hit them up. We did everything. And I was like, all right, I'm going to put it on Facebook and I'm going to basically say, my friend Chris from Kodak made this donation. It's awesome. If anybody you know needs a pizza, contact us or this woman, Janet, who runs everything in the town. And when I posted it, oh my God, I don't even know how many likes it got. Instantly, I was like, Jesus, that gets more likes than, like, than if I post a picture of myself. I was like a little jealous. Okay. So I was like, but this is amazing. Then down the list, you would see like this customer jumped in. My buddy Scotty at the tree service. It's like the most random of businesses that were like, I want to donate as well. I was like, wow, okay. So Scotty jumped in. My friends, the Bruzzi family that do Realty, jumped in. I want to buy 10 pies. Scotty eventually, like, I think he started with 10. He's like, make it 25. Like, I think he kept hearing people say, I'm going to do 10. He's like, put another 5. Put another 10. I was like, oh, my God. All right. And we put it on Facebook. It was like, donation, 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 donation. Like, I went from pizza man to, like, fundraiser overnight. I was like, I don't want to make the pizzas anymore. You guys make the pizzas. I'm going to do the fundraising. Don't worry about it. I was like, hell, you guys got this, you know. But, yeah, it turned into this movement overnight because Chris was like, hey, let's do this donation. I'm like, this is brilliant. Like, oh, my God. So then it was like, wow, what can we do with this? How many more people would donate? So every time we would get an order, we're like, thank you, business X and X, for these pizzas donated to people in the town. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's so many more places we can donate. It's not just like families, which we already created a huge amount. I might have, after like today, I don't know, I have to count the number, about 200 to give away. So every day we're giving away 20 pizzas that are paid for by these businesses and companies and individuals. And then I have more people calling, hey, Paul, I want to donate this. I want to donate that. So I'm like, oh my God, we can't even finish the ones that we did. But I was like, in a bad way, we might be like this for a while. So at least we got a good buffer of pizzas that we can do. So it went from just donating pizzas to individuals and families to, wow, we can ask people, or really they asked me, can you send pizzas to the hospital? And I said, oh my God. Now this really hit home for me because my fiance is a nurse at Morristown Memorial. Mm-hmm. And she's just starting too. Like, this is not an easy time to start. And I asked her, how's your floor? What floors need pizzas? Everything gets delivered to like the ICU. She was like, well, these other floors are actually all in this as well. So she gave me the breakdown, Morristown, you could hit this floor in this section, this department, that department. So I started spreading it out. Some pizzas would go here, some pizzas would go there. You know, and these people will call us, thank you so much for the pizzas. Nobody would usually think of us. They're like, thank you for sending us food. So I had other friends in other departments, pediatrics, emergency, other things in general. So I was like, let's try to designate all these deliveries to go different places. So it's not all just harnessed at the same one. They might be overwhelmed. They might not even be able to like eat all of this stuff. So it went from families and people to hospitals to, I said, oh my God, we got to donate to like the essential workers, the essential retail workers too. So then we started sending food to the grocery stores, to the hardware stores. Today we sent food to the dialysis centers. We sent food last week to the respiratory center at St. Clair's, like this whole floor. So it was cool that we got to really pinpoint where they're going, not just like to the hospital. to here, to there. Like, we're really focusing in zones that I think needed it at the time. So just all from one kid saying, hey, you want to donate a couple pies, it turned into, I have people calling all day long, send pizzas here. I want you to send it to the police station. I want you to send it to the fire department. Roxbury Police Department, you know, like, Roxbury Police Department might be 500 pounds each now. Like, they are eating so much pizza. I don't even know if they can do their job. Hopefully people, everybody's inside, not being bad. I don't even know if they'd be able to stop anybody right now.
So if somebody was interested in paying it forward, how would they, should they just give you a call?
Yeah, it turned into somebody would come in and they would say, hey, Paul, can you add like a pizza to my order? And here's, like, I would say, do you want me to put your name on it? They're like, no. A lot of people were like, no, I just want to be anonymous. Or some people would say, hey, yeah, I want this pizza donated by this family or that family. I say, we'll put your name on the box so it's like personal. Like, yeah, that's cool. That's fun. You know, you're not going to know who the Smith family is or whatever it is, but it's nice that they know it's coming from another family to your family. It's like really warm and nice in this situation. So it went from just in-house to just people calling. I want to donate X amount of money, turn it into pizzas.
So are you still doing this initiative?
Oh, yeah.
So if somebody wanted to do it, what's the best way for them to contact you?
I would say just the really, truly best way, because, like, it's hard to see all my direct messages in Facebook lately because there's so many pouring in every day. I'm like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose these messages. Truly best way now. Oops. Hold on a second. There we go. See a little bit of nice hair. Okay. Truly best way right now, just call the shop.
All right. Give it.
Yeah. I was going to say 973-584-0181. And you can say it any way you want. You know, you don't have to go into full detail. Hey, I really want to donate money, or, you know, select amount, or how much would 10 pizzas cost? How much do one cost or five cost, or really whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter what the amount. So we'll say, okay, this is your total. We'll ring you in. And I write up these little slips, basically like little receipts to each one, so we can keep track over time how many we have, how many we still have to give out. That way it's all like managed. Otherwise it's just like a mess, too much coming in one shot. So it's nice when people are like, put me on for 10 pies. That way I don't have to be like, all right, $100, how many pizzas will that get you? You're going to get 8.3, then we got to throw slices now.
But
I rounded up. Give them 9 pies.
But do you think that, I mean, this is an amazing initiative, and really just to see the way humanity has been acting during this trying time. You know, people do come together. You know, I've seen in other places, whether it's different restaurants or different pizzerias or even, you know, supermarkets, people are really banding together. Even though we have to practice social distancing, they're still bringing together their mind, their pocketbooks, to really help people in need. So my question is, do you think, I guess I'll ask Tommy, I'll ask both of you guys to see if you can answer this. What do you think that this will continue after this pandemic ends? Do you think people are still going to, I think in a way we have to kind of change the way that we act as human beings to be a little bit more friendly to one another. So what are your thoughts on that, guys? You start with Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I certainly hope it continues. And, I was definitely inspired. Like I said, me and Paul talk at night, and he would tell me, you know, like, we just started this. He told me, like, that initial guy did 10 pies, and I said, you know, that's a cool idea. And you know, we started doing free student lunches for the kids during the week, like this, who are, you know, with their parents or whatever, the homeschooling. I said, you know, a lot of these kids get free lunches from school, and now they got to pay out of pocket. I said, so let's continue that. And we've had the same thing, an outpouring of people. I've had my cousins, family members, customers found out we were doing it, and they've just been doing that. And it turned out to be the same way. We were getting so many donations. I said, you know, I wasn't doing that many school lunches. So then we started with the hospitals, and, you know, I was almost like getting inspiration from Paul. I would see, like, where's he going next? You know, he did the ShopRite, and then I was thinking about doing, maybe like a church run and do like the local churches, because, you know, they don't have any money coming in either. So I'm looking into doing that next week.
So you are kind of doing that same kind of a concept, as, you know, people want to donate a hot dog, then you can bring it to different places. So right. how would somebody be best get in touch with you to be able to do that?
Yeah, they call the shop, or they could Facebook message us for Jimmy Buffs, and then we can go from there.
What's the number of the shop?
973-325-9897.
Okay, good, good.
Or, you know, you could email us. It's www.jimmybuffs.com. You can contact us through there. And, yeah, I mean, it's all been stuff that, like, I've been talking to Paul about, and I got inspired from him and seeing other people do it. I said, you know, we got to jump on board. We got to do this too. And I certainly hope it continues. You know, I'm going to keep it going as long as I can. And, I would love to do more, you know?
I want to add a story about Tom. His family really helped my family about a year ago with a foundation that I know you guys support. Is what, Kindness for Christopher?
Yep, Kindness for Christopher.
And they helped us out in this moment. You know, a family member needed a transport to a hospital. And I remember that they were able to kind of help us with that foundation. And it was just the most beautiful thing in the moment, because I didn't realize where it had come from. And Tom's like, yeah, we do a lot of work with them. And it was a kid from Roxbury. And I didn't even realize this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the most crazy thing ever was a customer hit me up like 2 weeks ago when this was just getting started. And they're like, Paul, we know a family that would be really great to, like, send a donation to. These are, like, the first donations. So they're like, this is the address, this, this, and that. And if you could send them a pie, I'm like, yeah, I would love to do it. This is one of our first ones. We're not exhausted yet. I'm like, I'll do it myself almost, you know. So I was like, let's send them this pie. It was a pie and a salad. And I did not realize that the family who would help my own family lives in Roxbury. I didn't realize this. I should know this. Now I do. So the pizza was sent to the lady, and she contacted me. She's like, oh, where did this pizza come from? How did this get here? And I'm like, oh, you know, this was donated by a friend of yours who said it would be a really beautiful thing if you guys got this pie. And then I looked into her background. I'm like, oh, my God. I kind of know this woman in a way, because I guess it was her son who had passed away, who was Christopher, the foundation that, you know, Tommy helps contribute to. So I'm getting like goosebumps, chills, because, you know, her son who had passed, that foundation helped my father like about a year ago. And I'm just like, this same, like, it came full circle.
Wow.
It's like getting me choked up thinking about it. And I was like, this is, it's like literally, it came all around. And it's just weird knowing Tom and the friendship and the random person that said, send to this lady. And then I got to know this lady. Now I'm friends with this lady. And I told him, like, no, thank you for, you know, thank you, because it helped my father out a lot in the moment. And I just thought it was incredible. So after Tom said, yeah, we do a lot of work with this foundation, I want to, like, start our own, like, little charitable thing as well. I might call it, like, my father's token word, his saying, our trademark saying, legally. I spent a lot of money on that. It's called pizza and quiet. That's been his thing for years. What he would say, what the world needs now is a pizza and quiet. And people are like, I'm like, how do you not get it?
It's so, got it now, right?
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. So it's such a cheesy thing, no pun intended, but it's great and it sticks and people remember it. So I've developed it over time to just pizza and quiet. And now I've more decided to call it like Luigi's Pizza, home of pizza and quiet. It's the idea that when you're eating our pizza, everybody in your house is happy, they're satisfied, things are where it should be. So maybe even Tom could show me the details on this. I would love to do something, a pizza and quiet foundation that we can keep like for over time and time and time. And, you know, we might not generate all this crazy lux like we do now with this issue going on, but maybe over a year span through donations and people, we can put it into this foundation and we could help kids or people in the town, or maybe put it towards like scholarships or whatever. Like, I got to think like, where would this be the best focus? So that's like something I'll follow you up with.
The,
whether, you know.
the very interesting thing, or how small the world is that I know who you're talking about, because he was my wedding DJ when I got married.
He was mine too.
Was he?
Yeah.
And he is one of the sweetest guys in the world. Chris D'Amico, I'll say, because he's an amazing DJ. If anybody's looking for a DJ, he's a class act. And it's funny because he's from West Orange, right? So that's how he knows your family, right, Tommy?
Absolutely, yeah.
And now, like you said, Paul, he lives in your town, or he lives somewhere in that area. So yeah. Really, it's amazing. I always say God works in mysterious ways, how he brings people together. So three of us have been touched by somebody outside of I guess our inner circle, and now the three of us are together. It's really strange.
It's crazy, yeah.
There really is no coincidences. I firmly believe that no, everything kind of happens.
God works in mysterious ways, and Chris really is a great guy. I mean, great family, Laura, Viana, their son Dean now. I mean, they do amazing things through Kindness for Christopher, and they pay a wonderful tribute to him. And, you know, I just want to say, like, how I was raised. I mean, my father, I grew up seeing what he used to do. And I remember when I was in high school, one of my teammates who I played football with, like, His mother had cancer, and she needed to get to like a doctor that specialized in her type in Florida. And like, so we held fundraisers for, you know, to give, and it's just, I grew up around that. And to see my sister, Connie, she does her own thing with her daughters, Sophia and Bella. They call it Bella's Butterflies, and they do so many good things in Roxbury. Yeah. And they work with Kindness for Christopher. So, I mean, it really, you know, I kind of just piggyback right off of all that, and I just, you know, I just trying to go with the flow, and I say whatever you guys are doing, let's do it.
But really, it's amazing how we are somehow all connected in some crazy way. But really, I mean, I think it is important to kind of remember what we're going through now, and again, probably try to spread out the whatever you want to call it, the goodwill into the future, because again, we are one nation, we're one world, we're one human race, and if we don't kind of try to become friends with people that maybe we wouldn't otherwise be friends with, maybe this will somehow bring people together. I don't know. So let me ask you some other. I guess we can get a little bit off topic. Talk a little bit about what have you guys been cooking at home, or are you just kind of like stuck in a restaurant and.
Well, I am home. Oh, shoot. Tom, should go first. You're literally home right now.
I am home. And, you know, we've both been working our butts off. But, I'm very fortunate that my wife is home right now. My son, she's working from home. She's doing, you know, 10 times the amount of work that I'm doing. And I come home late nights, and I still get, you know, something to eat. Sometimes she's sleeping, and I got to whip up a sandwich myself, but she usually leaves something out for me, and I'm very appreciative of that. But that's like one of the last things we're thinking about when we get home is cooking. And I know Paulie feels the same way. I think he said he was saying his mother left him a plate of pasta on the way going away upstairs.
Tommy, not online there, Tom.
Oh yeah, it's out there.
I was like, Ma, thank you. I love you. I know I'm an old Italian boy. I should not be living home still, but thank you for this pasta. And she was like, you want me to leave it on the stairs? I said, leave it on the stairs. I'm walking down the stairs. And she jumps out of nowhere. She's like, I just want to see your face. I haven't seen you in weeks. I'm like, Ma, get away. The corona. So I'm like, back up. I'm like talking to the wall, picking up the pasta off the ground. And I was like, and it's got to be on a paper plate with a plastic fork, because I got to throw this away. So in the morning, I woke up, I had like the plate on my stomach. I'm crumbling it up. I'm like stuffing it in my coat so I could throw it away at the pizzeria. I don't want to like touch the garbage lid outside of the house. So it tasted so good. That was the first home cooked meal I had in I don't know how long, because literally we're at the pizzeria. I mean, we're still at the freaking pizzeria. This is my little quarantine section where you can pick up the pie safely. So we're eating every meal here of the day. Like, it's nonstop. Okay. I'm like, so we're working And when we have 5 seconds, we go on the side, we have a little something to eat. But when we're done, I'm done. I go home. I run right upstairs. I lock the door. I want to stay the hell away from everybody right now.
Yeah.
You try to go through the motions, you know, especially with what my father and even my mom went through a little bit these past couple years. I feel bad being in the same environment as them. So a little difficult in the situation. Hopefully after this all ends, we can, you know, my fiance and I, hopefully we could like actually finalize what the hell we were trying to do for so long, get the house, get married, get set. You know, right now, her at the hospital, me over here. I see her at night with the video conference, they're saying, hey, how are you? What's going on? We're both exhausted. We're like fall asleep in the video. It's like,
she's going to be beeping
not,
in soon.
It's not easy. What's that?
She said, so she's going to be beeping in soon.
Yeah, I know. Paul, oh, where are you? I was already getting texts. My little niece was texting. She's like, I'm watching. I'm watching the Tony Monja show. I'm like, yes. I made it now.
Well, you so got
I'm
you.
Sure she's watching.
You guys are doing some amazing work. Keep it up. I know you guys must be exhausted, and I feel for you. I'm pulling for you guys, and hopefully we can get through this, and we can like I said, move forward. And when this is over, I am coming out to Luigi's, and we're gonna do a real podcast out there once you can take some time off and kind of.
I want to show you something.
Go ahead, show me.
You did the podcast with Josephine in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
She sent me something yesterday. I want to show you. Hold on.
All right. Oh, mamma mia! So, Tommy, how have you been otherwise? Just plugging along.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it is what it is. We've been doing okay at the store. I mean, things have been holding up and. Everything's great at home, so I got nothing to complain about. You know, I know a lot of people that are doing, you know, not so good. So I got no complaints.
No, that's the thing. I mean, we have to try to again. It is. I mean, if you know me, I'm always out and about. I'm always on the go. I'm always eating someplace or driving somewhere. And
no, you make me very jealous.
And to be stuck home is like I'm like crying. I'm like I need to bust out. But right. Paul's back.
Now, I am horrible at this. I lost it. She sent me the most beautiful mail, and she had an illustration of it in there that I guess she draws.
Uh-huh.
And it was just the nicest thing. I will send you the picture later, because, of course, I can't find this mail right now. Everything is just, like, in shambles. But it was just so awesome that during everything going on right now, she sends me mail. She's like, Paul, hope everybody's healthy and safe at Luigi's Pizza. And I'm looking and I'm like, oh my God, this girl taking the time out of her life to send out pizza mail to another pizzeria. I thought it was the kindest, nicest thing. She sent
pizza mail?
Yeah, pizza mail. Literally pizza mail. Everybody loves pizza mail. You got to get some pizza mail in your life. It's almost as good as like mailbox money. But anyway. But it was just the sweetest, nicest thing. And it's funny because like, I got into like watching her stuff. I think through you, Tony. I was like, this girl is so cool. Her father's got Lenny's Pizza in the Brooklyn. You know, it's like home of so many, like, you know, it's a famous place. It's incredible. Yeah, yeah. So that's how we kind of became friendly. And my buddy Pasquale. Pasquale knows everybody in the world. I feel like you even know Pasquale. This guy is like the Brooklyn dude. But it's funny because he works down the road from us in Roxbury at Standard Tile. I got to give him a shout out. Standard Tile sells the best whatever, marble, granite tile, whatever you like. And the guys there did so many contributions to us for the hospitals, to this, to donations, to ShopRite. They're amazing. Brandon, the owner, and Pasquale, who like sees the place like as his home, you know, he's worked there for a million years. Pasquale is a friend of Josephine too. So yesterday I took a picture of him holding up the artwork because I want to send it to her. It's just so weird that he knows her. Now I kind of know her, but I saw her from your thing. I'm like, this is insane how everybody's kind of like
connected.
All thrown together. It's a night.
She is beautiful. I love Josephine. She is one of the sweetest ladies out here. She really is a sweetheart. She is such a sweetheart.
But and I told her, I was like, "You're probably one of the only pizzerias that I would love to like come and visit and meet you." Because it's not even just about pizza at that moment. You just get to know the person.
Exactly.
And you get to meet the family. And it's so similar to our families. And it's so far away that it's so different. Oh, I get to get Brooklyn pizza today. You know, it's not like I'm going down the street. I want to know this guy. I don't want to know this guy. You can say the hell over there. You know, let him have fun over there. But her, I would love to meet her. I would love to try her pizza. And I pushed by. I was like, "I'm going with you. We go. We get slices." Said, "All right." This is like months ago. Now it's like, we got a while.
We got a little while. But her pizza is great Brooklyn pizza.
Delicious.
Yeah, she has great really Brooklyn good. Pizza. But guys, again, I'm gonna let you go because I know you must be exhausted. And I want to thank you so very much for taking time out tonight to come on the Tony at the Table with Tony show. Live stream edition. And guys, any last words? Actually, you know what? Before we leave, just tell us how they can get in touch with you again. Phone number, email, Facebook, website. So go ahead, Paul. You go first.
All right. So best way, really call the store, 973-584-0181. And a firefighter in town was the one who helped me figure this out after about a million years. He's like, "Paul, you know how I always remember your phone number?" I was like, "I don't know. I have to save everything in my phone. Everything in Roxbury is 584. He's like, "Your last four digits are OI810181. I'm like, "Oh my God. Yeah, you can think of him as I have had a Luigi's Pizza 0181. I'm like, "This is brilliant. I got to put this on a t-shirt or a box or something." But honestly, phone, you can hit me up on Facebook. I do check the messages every night. I try to go through everything. I feel bad if I miss any. I probably don't, but direct message, email. As far as email, our last name, Bellardini, Bellardini, at iCloud.com. I can check the emails there. And even Instagram direct messages too is good too. Facebook, Instagram.
What's your Instagram handle?
So it's Luigi's PZA. So just abbreviated pizza, Luigi's PZA.
Excellent.
And I would love to hear from you.
And Tommy, how's the best way that people get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. Any form of social media is good. My father, I got to give a shout out to him. He's my social media manager, believe it or not. It's the opposite of what you would think. He does all that for me. He's on Facebook. If I don't answer, he definitely will. So you can go to Jimmy Buffs on Facebook. You can go to Jimmy Buffs WO West Orange on Instagram. You can call us at 973-325-9897 or our website, jimmybuffs.com. And any of those ways is good.
Excellent. Well, guys, thank you so, so very much. Be safe, and hopefully we can get through this and then we could see each other in person. That would be a real blessing.
Will. Sounds good. Sounds
all right,
thank
guys.
Thank you so much for all you're doing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Well, my absolute pleasure. God bless you, and we'll see you soon. All right, guys?
Thank you, Tommy.
This has been another episode of At the Table with Tony. We'll see you next time. Ciao for now.
At the Table with Tony would like to thank its sponsors. Rocco Muriale, Rob Quick, Joseph Cirillo, Raymond Guarini, Tom Gilmore, Wally G, Peter Ziza, Brian McGuire, Peter Ferreira, Rich Ottenstrauer, Anna Mavrianos, Antonio Pepinella, Anthony Ferraro, Sandra and Bob LaMotta, Mike Guero, the Italian Enclaves Historical Society.
Thank you.
You guys are great. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Sounds good.
Stop that bone.
Ciao.